I'd like to welcome everyone out to the service this evening and a special welcome to those that are visiting with us. I also welcome back as our preacher this evening, Mr. Simon Anderson, who has completed his 4 years at the Whitfield College of the Bible. The midweek meeting is usual on Wednesday at 8 p.m. and Mr. Samuel Fitton will take that meeting. Next Lord's Day, the morning service 11:30, preceded by a time of prayer from 11 a.m. and then the evening service at the usual time of 7 p.m. and the preacher will be Mr. Jonathan Storey, who has completed his 3rd year at the college.
Good evening, folks. It's good to be with you again tonight. It's good to see each and every one out in the house of God. We thank your minister, Mr. Ormerod, for the words of invitation. Or rather, the welcome, the invitation to come along, and our brother for the words of welcome tonight. It's a joy to be with you again in a new fellowship once more with the folks here in Six Mile Cross. I invite you to turn to our opening hymn of praise tonight, 265. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned. Unclean, and we'll stand to sing after the introduction, please.
I'm
What an amazement it is when you stop to think. I don't know, perhaps you're saved here for a lifetime or you're saved for many years. I wonder, have you lost the amazement, the wonder of it all, to think that the Lord Jesus Christ would die for a sinner like you, to think he would die hanging a cross for a sinner like me, that we might be washed in the precious blood of the Lamb, be found ready for heaven, fitted, clothed in his righteousness. What an amazement it is to stand in awe of the finished work of Calvary that has been wrought for sinners such as you and me. We think of any tonight that's here that's not saved. We trust even tonight you'll come to Christ. You'll know what it is to rejoice and sing in these, the words of this chorus. How marvellous, how wonderful your song shall ever be of the Saviour's love to you and drawing him even unto himself this very evening here in Six Mile Cross Meeting House. We'll just commit our time together tonight at the outset to the Lord in prayer. Seek his face. If you're saved tonight, even ask the Lord to speak to your heart. If you're not saved, even cry unto him now. Cry unto him for salvation. He will save you. He will save you. He will save you. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Heavenly Father, we thank thee and praise thee for what thou dost mean to us. We thank thee, Lord, even as we have gathered here and sang this opening hymn of praise together, we've been reminded of thy person and thy work upon the cross there at Calvary. We rejoice, Lord, that you took our sins away as far as the east is from the west. So far hast thou removed our transgressions from us. And Lord, we are found ready for heaven and for home tonight. There's many can testify of that change that has taken place in their heart and lives. How thou hast kept them. How they've been redeemed by the precious blood. And Father, they have that peace assurance within their heart tonight that one day they'll see their blessed Saviour face to face. But Father, tonight we come before thee. We think, Lord, even of those that are perhaps joining with us or will listen in even online to this gospel service, and they don't know what it is to have that joy in their heart and soul tonight. They don't know what it is to be pardoned from sin and have that assurance of peace with God. And Father, we pray tonight that this will be the night of their new birth. But Father, this will be the night that thou will draw them lovingly unto thyself, that they'll cry unto thee for mercy. And Father, that thou will come and intervene in hearts and lives. And Father, that they'll be saved, we pray of thee. Oh Father, we thank thee and praise thee for who thou art, for what thou hast done. Oh Lord, the evolutionists would seek to tell us even that this whole world came together as a result of a bang. And Father, even as we see this beautiful sun that shines upon us even here this evening, oh Father, we're reminded of the Creator, the Sustainer of all things, the Lord himself, the God of all glory, the one that causes the sun to shine, to rise and to set again in the evening time, the one that even causes the moon to rise again. And Father, how thou art the one that even takes care of thy people, even watches over us, even as we sleep. Thou art the one that neither slumbers nor sleep. And Father, we thank thee and praise thee for who thou art, for what thou hast done. And Father, we look to thee and we come before thee then tonight with great confidence, knowing, Lord, that we don't come to a God of wood or stone, but we come to the true and the living God. Beside thee there is none else. We look to thee then, and Father, we cry unto thee, knowing neither is there salvation in any other, there's none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. And Father, we pray tonight there'll even be salvation blessing in this house. O Lord, we cry unto thee. Lord, we pray, deliver us even in these days. O Lord, we lack faith. And Lord, we cry unto thee. Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. O Father, we look back to days of blessing. We read of days gone by in the early days within the denomination when the question was asked how many would be saved, not if any would be saved. And Lord, we cry on to thee tonight, even to work in hearts and lives, even in this place this night. We think perhaps even of a young Christian
in this house tonight that has been exercised, perhaps even to go into the service of God, even into the full-time work of the kingdom. We rejoice, Lord, even that there's great need, even in these days, even as we were even just reading this afternoon of the retirement of our sister Margaret in Kenya and her labours there for many, many years. And Father, we just pray that the Lord of the harvest would even raise up more labourers, even in these days, to go out and to serve Thee on the mission field. O Lord, help us, Lord, give us that willing spirit to do what we can while we can, even in these days in which we are found. We think also of those who be gathered with us tonight, those believers, Lord, that are faithful, those prayer warriors that are faithful in the place of prayer. Oh, they can't be found even on the mission field, but we praise God for them. They can hold the ropes at home, even in prayer. We thank Thee for people that pray. Thank Thee, Lord, for people that have prayed, even for the students, for the college, for the faculty as a whole, even as we have met together in the year that has gone into eternity. Lord, how it was anything but normal. But Father, we thank Thee for the prayers of God's people, for Thy hand upon us, and how that has even enabled us day by day to go forward, seeking Thy will and learning all that we could. Father, we praise Thee and thank Thee, Lord, even for each and every student today that's out preaching Thy word. Oh, Father, we just pray You'll give help even this night as they would even mount the pulpit steps, as they would stand behind the desk tonight and open Thy precious, unsearchable riches of Thy precious word tonight, as it is read publicly, as it is meditated upon, that, Father, there'll even be signs following. We pray for the ministers of our congregation also. We pray You'll bless them, laymen, those that are faithful to the blood in the book this night. We pray, Lord, there'll even be signs following the proclamation of Thy word. We're not unmindful even of ministerial brethren tonight that are not well, and, Lord, they're overcome with sickness and an ill health. And, Father, they have perhaps given their life to ministering to others, calling in the home and pastoral visitation, and yet tonight they're laid aside themselves. We pray You'll deliver them from any such discouragement. And Father, we pray You'd even encourage them in their own soul, grant them even the desires of their hearts, that they might be able to return to their pulpit ministry and serve Thee again as Thou hast called them to. Oh, Father, we pray a work in our hearts, even and in our land in these days. We think of many that have been struck down even with sickness. We think of those of the congregation here, unknown to me, but Lord, known unto Thee this night, that perhaps struggle with sickness, ill health, or the years have crept on. Oh Lord, we just pray for them each one. We pray, Lord, You'll even bless them, meet them each one at the point of their need. You'd restore them, we pray, unto the wanted health and strength. Oh Lord, we thank Thee that Thou art the great physician that heals the sick. And Lord, we cry unto Thee then to have Thine own way to work and to raise up, we pray, of Thee, these people that are unwell even at this time. We think of those that are found in the place of work tonight, works of necessity and mercy. We pray You'll bless them, encourage them, make them a blessing to all they come in contact with. Help them, Lord, to be salt and light, even in the world in which they are found, even this very Lord's Day evening. Oh Lord, we praise Thee and thank Thee, even for our missionaries. We praise Thee for them. We thank Thee for their desire to leave home and loved ones and family and comforts and all these things at the obedience of Thy speaking voice. And we pray for them tonight. We think even of the work in Uganda and Kenya and Liberia, Lord, even our mission fields, Spain. Lord, Thou knowest them each one and the folks involved there. We thank You, the Lord, even for answered prayer in past days for the foster family that were struggling with illness. We praise Thee for raising them up again to health and strength. And Father, we just pray that You'll continue to keep Your hand upon Thy children there. And Father, give them fruit for Thy labour, for their labour, even in these days. Oh Lord, we thank Thee that, Father, that Thou art even still working, even in these days. Oh Lord, sometimes we can look around us and we think there's nothing happening. We thank Thee even for the good reports of even boys and girls being saved as a result of the online ministry during this coronavirus time. We thank Thee for the work of the FPC kids as they have sought to keep going with the work of God, even online, during lockdowns and all these things when our own works were restricted. And Father, we just pray You'll continue to bless the boys and girls associated with the congregation here and the young people and in the surrounding district. We think of the meetings that are planned in Thy will in this coming weeks. We just pray that thou would even be pleased to keep everyone safe, we pray of thee. And most of all, would you be pleased to break in and to save some little boy or girl, we pray of thee. Not for any glory of the denomination or the work of God, but Father, for thy glory. For thy glory and for thine honour alone, even in this place, we pray. O Lord, continue on with us. Tarry with us. Lord, we need thee. We long not to go through another gospel service. Father, without thee, Lord, we cry unto thee to come and to brood over this gathering, we pray. O Lord, move upon each and every one gathered out. Even speak to hearts, even as we would pray, Lord, now that you'd even be preparing hearts to receive thy precious word. We think of those that are joining us online. Bless there also, minister to them, even we pray. We're not unmindful of thy servant, his wife and family, as they take leave of the congregation here for a time of rest and relaxation. We pray you'll even restore them, build them up again, we pray, and ready them even for the work which lies ahead in these coming days. O Lord, bless us. Do our hearts good around thy word, we pray. For it's in Christ's name we humbly ask it, and for our Saviour's sake. Amen. Amen. We're turning tonight for our scripture reading to the book of Ruth, to the book of Ruth and the chapter 1. The book of Ruth and the chapter 1. The book of Ruth is one of two books named after women in the Bible, Esther being the other. The main difference is really is the Ruth with a Gentile marrying a Hebrew, and then Hebrew marrying a Gentile in the book of Esther. Ruth based in Moab, whereas Esther was based in the great Persian Empire. In the book of Ruth we have various references to God and various titles, but the book of Esther is bereft of the actual name of God. We're commencing to read in the opening verse of this chapter 1 of the book of Ruth. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. Not a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab. He and his wife, his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi. The name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephratites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left, and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died, also both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her. And they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, Go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, Surely we will return unto thee, unto thy people. And Naomi said, Turn again, my daughters. Why will ye go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb, that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have an husband. If I should have, I have hope. If I should have an husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would you tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieved me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her and she said, Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also if aught but death part thee and me. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. So they two went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass, when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them. And they said, Is this Naomi? And she said unto them, Call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of the barley harvest. We'll end our reading there at the end of this opening chapter of this little book of Ruth. We'll turn again to hymn number 260, ask the question, this hymn, O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness, you see. There's light for a look at the Saviour and life more abundant and free. We'll sing this hymn unto the glory of God, standing to sing, please.
There's life for a look at the Savior.
Turning back again to that portion we have just read together, Ruth, the book of Ruth in the opening chapter. Just with your copy of God's Word open before you, we'll just bow for a moment's prayer, seek His help, seek His blessing, even through the preaching of His precious Word tonight. Father, we thank Thee and praise Thee that Thou art the answer to the sin-sick soul. And Father, we pray tonight, if there be any even gathered with us, or listening into this service, that they'll even flee to Christ this night. They'll look to Christ. They'll take their eyes off those around them. Take their eyes off circumstances. Take their eyes off this world in which we live. And place their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Rejoice, Lord, that Thou hast promised that him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. Father, we thank Thee for Thy word. We thank Thee, Lord, that it is truth. We thank Thee, Lord, that we can stand sure upon it. Every jot and tittle contained within is God-breathed. And Father, this night as we come before Thee now, we pray that Thou would apply Thy word to the hearts of Thy hearers, those that will listen tonight, those that are here before us in this meeting house. Oh Lord, we just pray that Thou will shut us in with Thyself. Lord, how easy it is even to become distracted at this stage in the Sabbath evening. Our mind begins to wander. And Father, we start to think about the week which lies ahead. And Father, we lose out on the blessing of Thy precious word. So Father, we just pray, deliver us from such thoughts tonight. Help us, Lord, to focus in on Thee and what Thou hast to say to us, even from Thy precious word. Perhaps there's a backslider gathered in with us tonight. O Lord, we pray, restore unto such the joy of Thy so great salvation. That soul that is truly saved will have no peace when he's out of fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. She'll have no rest there. And Father, we pray, restore that wonderful joy to that backslider even in this house tonight, or as they would listen in online. O Lord, we just cry, Lord, unto Thee. Without Thee, Lord, we can do nothing. We pray, Lord, You'll empty this preacher of sin and self. Hide me far behind the cross, I pray of Thee. Lord, surely my desire is that none will be seen this night save Christ and Him crucified. Oh, Father, we just pray, pour out Thy Spirit now upon us. Bless us, we pray of Thee. For it's in Christ's name we'd humbly ask it, and for our Saviour's sake. Amen and amen. Well, the events here recorded for us in the book of Ruth appear to have taken place in the early days of the Judges, at a time when the promised land was at rest. God's displeasure was evident against them just the same. And this was expressed by a famine which we read of here in this opening chapter of the book of Ruth. They had not yet been sold into bondage to their surrounding foes. The story revolves around four main people, we could say, Elimelech, Naomi, Boaz, and Ruth. It's a familiar story, a familiar account in many ways. However, the moral examples of these book's characters do not exhaust its full meaning by any means. It's full of rich theological truth, wonderful pictures of Christ and His glorious gospel. The great theme of redemption is clearly taught throughout the book of Ruth. The kinsman redeemer of the extended family who at his own expense restored or avenged the family when it suffered loss. Providence is another wonderful theme which is contained in this little book of Ruth. Things don't just happen here in this book of Ruth. But it is clear that God is at work. Although there are many trials and troubles and difficulties along the way, they're all brought together in a remarkable fashion to further God's eternal plan. God's redemptive purpose and providential plan, they go hand in hand, even in this present day and right throughout history. Each, the providential purpose and the redemptive plan go hand in hand. The patriarch Job, speaking of the Lord, asked this question: who hath hardened himself against him and hath prospered? If we obey God's will, everything in life, it comes together. However, if we disobey, everything starts to unravel. It starts to fall apart. Nowhere in all of Scripture is this more evident than the experiences that we read of here of Elimelech and his wife Naomi. They found out to their great cost that they could run from God, but you can't hide. And tonight I would like to center your thoughts simply upon the record of their ruinous decision. The record of their ruinous decision. And note first of all with me, there in the opening verse, their move to Moab. Their move to Moab. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab. He and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech. And the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons Mahlon and Chilion, Ephratites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And I want tonight, at the outset of our meeting, at our time together, this gospel service, I want you to picture with me the scene that lays before us here that we have just read of. There was a famine in the land. There was a famine in the land. You know, lately I've been up in the Ards Peninsula and I was going across, and I suppose coming from a farming background, I noticed all the fields were bare. They aren't nice and green as they are as I was coming across here to 6 Mile Cross today. There was nothing to eat. The farmers had put out silage to feed the cattle in the fields. Those of us associated with farming nonetheless can look back to years when there was a poor harvest, poor growth perhaps. However, I would suggest that there are very few of us, if any, here today that know what it is to live through a famine. To live through a famine, a time of dearth, a time of deprivation, a time of shortage, scarcity, potentially leading to starvation. And this is what we read of here in the opening verses of the book of Ruth. This man, his wife and his two sons were faced with these real challenges. Famine comes at a time when men choose to do as they please. This famine was caused by open sin among the people. It seems the people had no hunger. No hunger for the word of God. Therefore he so ordered things that there was a hunger for physical food. This famine come upon the people. Those words, a certain man, would appear to indicate that Elimelech made the choice as the head of the home. In many ways there's a similarity here when you think of this virus that has come before us. We could draw a similarity. When you think that the people still don't hear, the people still don't even see the great need that this land is in, so much sin that has come upon us, yet there's no hunger for the word of God. There was great fear for one's life throughout the early days of this virus, and then as time went on, everybody just desired to get back to normality, as they talked of, and to get back to the pubs and the clubs at the weekends, and get back to doing everything and anything except attending to the house of God. Is there not a similarity here? These words a certain man would appear to indicate that Elimelech made the choice. He was the head of the home, that he and his family should uproot and leave Bethlehem, Judah, and go to Moab. And you know, it's wonderful. It's rather bizarre indeed, considering that Bethlehem, as you would know, means the house of bread, that Elimelech would choose to make such a decision. These words also confirm to us that Elimelech decided that it was best for he and his family to move to Moab. And not everyone, nonetheless, had made the same choice. Not everyone who dwelt there in the time of the famine was of the same mind. Yet Elimelech, his wife and his two sons, they chose to depart. Not everyone left. There wasn't a mass exodus. There we see then in verse 6 that the gracious visitation of the Lord had came in giving bread in due time. There had been those who had acted in faith remaining there in Bethlehem, Judah, but not Elimelech and his family. nonetheless, he went to sojourn there in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name Elimelech means God is my king. Oh, he had a worthy name, but unfortunately he had not a worthy manner. It's regrettable that he went to sojourn there in Moab. The word sojourn means to just stay for a time, to stay temporarily, to be a stranger. It seems he only intended to go and to stay for a short period of time. However, we see there in verse 1, if you look down at these verses with me, verse 1, he went to sojourn. Verse 2, he continued there. And verse 4, he dwelled there. No longer a stranger in the land, but he became a settler. There's a sad progression signified by these words. What commenced as a temporary period became a period of time, and then it advanced, progressed to a permanent abode. There's an interesting parallel worthy of note in Judges 17, 6 through 10. We see a similar situation unfolding there in that passage, where a sojourning Levite is enticed to stay through the persuasion of Micah. Tell me, did the old preachers not get it right when they said these words? Sin will take you further than you want to go. It will keep you longer than you want to stay. It will cost you more than you want to pay. Certainly it is the case here in Ruth 1 as we read this account. Elimelech made this ruinous decision to forsake the land of promise and to embrace the land of Moab. Turn over with me, if you would, to Deuteronomy 23 in the verse 3. Deuteronomy chapter 23 and the verse 3. Here it is clearly evident that Moab was a land under the curse of God. Deuteronomy 23 in the verse 3. An Ammonite or a Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Even to their 10th generation shall they not enter into the congregation of the Lord forever. Deuteronomy 23 and the verse 3. And also over in Genesis 19:37, we have recorded there of Moab's shocking history of sin involving Lot's wickedness with his daughters. And you know, the people of Moab became a constant source of difficulty and a pain for Israel. The mother of Moab hailed from Sodom, and all that belongs to Moab in the way of wickedness and sin had its history in Sodom. Ruth 1:15 indicates it was a place of false gods. There was nothing there, nothing at all, for the child of God. And yet here we read of Elimelech, a man that leaves the house of bread. Didn't just leave himself. He took his wife and his family, and this is where he went. This is where he thought it was wise to go. Surely in times of trouble, we as the people of God were prone to stray, prone to wander. Elimelech may never have gone to Moab, only the famine came. Is it not true that we tend to look for an easier way to circumvent or to avoid problems whenever they arise in our lives? I don't know if you're familiar with the old aphorism, the old saying, so-and-so has the name of rising early, therefore they can stay in bed all day. You know, there's a lot of truth in it. It's quite apt even here. Just because someone has a name for following God doesn't mean they're always faithful to him. Oh, Elimelech had a worthy name, but he hadn't a worthy manner. He led his family into the place of sin, into deep sin. This is a significant name. He was not subject to the king, but rather he denied the sovereignty of God. God's providential plan in his life. A warning to us all as fathers. Fathers who do not wait on God, who do not walk with God, ultimately lead their family away from God. We think of Eli over there in 1 Samuel in the chapter 2, and we read there in verses 22 through to 25. Now Eli was very old, and heard all that his sons did unto all Israel, and how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And then 24, we see this wee week, a bit of a very late telling off, we could say, that he gives them. Oh, don't be doing that. He says, nay, my sons, for it's no good report that I hear. You make the Lord's people to transgress. If one man sin against another, the judge shall judge him. But if a man sin against the Lord, who shall entreat for him? Notwithstanding, they hearken not unto the voice of their father, because the Lord would slay them. They hearken not unto the voice of their father. Eli had lost all authority with his family, with his children. Such a sad picture we read here even tonight. He had no authority with them. So it was with Elimelech. He led them in to the land of sin. Regardless of our age, should we be younger or older in this meeting tonight, we ought never forget that the allurement of the world is stronger than we ever realise. You know, Elimelech, he only intended to simply sojourn there for a time, but he stayed longer than he ever intended. It's easier for us to walk away from God, to turn our backs upon him, than it is to return to him. I'm sure you can think of people perhaps you have witnessed to, or even people in your own family, and you have said to them, you know, you need to be saved. You need to be saved now. Oh, there's time enough. There's no rush. I'll get saved before I die. I'll have that deathbed conversion, as they say. Elimelech only intended to simply sojourn, but he stayed longer than he ever intended. Oh, the devil makes out repentance is easy. We come when we want. Nonetheless, it's hard to come back if you walk away from God. You turn your back on him. Some say we can live as we please. Live as you like. Oh, say a wee prayer, come back, get saved just whenever you want to. However, sadly, the devil keeps pushing on forward. Time slips by. The devil keeps us away. In verse 3, we read of the ultimate death of this man. Well, he left Bethlehem, Judah. Not only did he leave Bethlehem, Judah, then he left his wife behind him, Naomi, a widow in a sinful, in a wicked land there with their two sons. Oh, Elimelech may have supposed within himself that he had a right motive. He had the right motive by doing what he had done. He was thinking of their needs and so on, but he had a wrong motive and he made a wrong move. And considering this record of a ruinous decision, we have noted the move to Moab, but see also with me the marriage at Moab. The marriage at Moab, there in verse 4, and they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of one was Orpah, the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. The situation Elimelech left his family in resulted in the marriage of his two sons to daughters of Moab. It shouldn't surprise us. They married in Moab. After all, their father had walked by sight and not by faith. He sought to run from the problem of famine that he faced rather than wait on the Lord, as we're reminded in Isaiah 40 and 31, that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. But not Elimelech. He majored on the physical needs, not the spiritual needs of his family. Therefore his sons, as we've read here in verse 4, they took those two words. They took. It was not an arranged marriage. This verb can also mean to lift up. In verse 9 and verse 14. Also to take, to receive, to take hold of. All language which is spoken of here is used all in relation to marriage within the accounts in Scripture. The idea of taking a wife involves support. It involves a lifting up. And you know, sad to say, in this world in which we live, there are many a husband who thinks it is their duty, it is their responsibility to put their wives down. But yet as husbands, it's a responsibility to lift up our wives. How is this so? Well, Christ, after all, has lifted us up. Matthew Henry, commenting on this matter, says the woman was made of a rib out of the side of Adam, not made out of his head to rule over him, nor out of his feet to be trampled upon by him, but out of his side to be equal with him, under his arm to be protected, and near his heart to be beloved. We think of how the Saviour has recorded, as recorded for us in Isaiah 53 in the verse 12, he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. He bare the sin of many there is the same verb as he took, or he lifted up. And Christ, men and women tonight, has lifted our sins and carried them the whole way to the cross, that we might be redeemed. And it's just one of the many benefits of our salvation, of our union with him this night. When we consider this marriage of Mahlon and Chilion in Moab, it was to the woman of Moab. The woman of Moab. It is notable that this is the first thing we learn of these two young men. The Holy Spirit is here emphasizing the fact that they were not Jews. It is the third reference to Moab in the chapter within the opening four verses. Verse 1 and verse 2, we read of the country of Moab, and verse 4, the woman of Moab. The entanglement of Moab and with Moab is evident. They are all identified there with the sins of that place. Both Mahlon and Chilion acted in a way that was unbecoming of an Israelite. They were not far from Israel. You know, sometimes when we read this account, we think they couldn't go back. But listen, they were only 50 miles away. They could have gone back. However, they did not. Oh, probably sought to justify their actions by, or the choice. Oh, they lived in a foreign land. But they should never have been there. They should never have fled from Moab. But they should rather have fled from Moab at their first opportunity. They should have got themselves out of that place. It shows the importance of to be careful of our conduct, of our companions, those we keep company with. Despite the fact that the Jews were forbidden to marry the Gentile women, especially those from Ammon and Moab, as we have noted already in Deuteronomy. Mahlon married Ruth, Chilion married Orpah. Ruth was the wife of the younger son, and Chilion perhaps married first, as Orpah is named first there in verse 4. Elimelech made the ruinous decision to move to Moab, and the devastation just continued as his two sons married there the unequal yoke. The story is told of a young believer who was in business. He felt he would have greater potential by relocating elsewhere, and he and his wife went to the country of their choosing and spent a few weeks there looking around at various places. Oh, they saw many suitable locations. Suitable places to expand, to grow their business as they travelled throughout the country. They saw church after church. But they were lying derelict. Turned into restaurants, pubs, hay sheds, luxury homes, you name it, they saw it. There was churches used for everything and anything rather than the proclamation of God's precious word. Challenged about what they saw and concerned for the souls of their three young children, they returned and they came back to the place where the Lord was. Not only did they prosper in business, they saw their family won for Christ. This was not so, sadly, of Elimelech. He and his family. Oh, they abandoned God's land, God's people, for the land of the enemy. A decision that produced just a trail of destruction. In pondering the record of this ruinous decision, we've noted the move to Moab, the marriage at Moab. But see also with me the misery in Moab. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, verse 3, and she was left and her two sons. So death came to the family. Elimelech dies, Naomi is left alone in isolation and loneliness. She survived her husband, however, she's now a widow with two sickly sons, both Mahlon and Chilion. Their names mean to be sickly, to be unwell children, and that's what they were. The family had sought to escape death, but yet it had caught up with them. Sadly, it was not the last. Verse 5, and Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. The woman was left. Is it not true to say at this stage, Naomi was the most miserable mother in Moab? There's no reference to when or why her husbands or sons died, just she was left alone. She was left alone. And you know, men and women tonight and young people, it's a wonderful thing about sin. It's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful way of just isolating you, leaving you all alone. Leaving you all alone. Or perhaps you're saying, oh, I'll get saved another time. Perhaps you're a backslider here tonight. You're enjoying the things of the world, that pleasure and sin for a season, as we read of. Sin is a wonderful way of leaving you on your own. Is the Lord going to have to isolate you? Leave you all alone? Take those friends from you? Take those distractions from you to bring you to this point, to this place, when you'll throw up those arms of rebellion and flee to him for mercy tonight? Naomi left Bethlehem, Judah. She left with her husband, her two children, only to be left alone. She and the family had gone to escape death, yet death doesn't know any boundaries. There's no long-term prosperity for them outside of God's will. It's like the backslider far from God, tangled with the world, terribly afflicted. Oh, her name means pleasantness. Oh, as we read there this account, how she suffered great loss, great and terrible loss. She lost her home. She forsook Bethlehem, Judah for Moab. She lost her loved ones, her husband, her sons were gone. She lost her joy there, as we read in verse 20. Call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. Is that not always the case? When things go wrong, when we have headed off on our own plan and turned our back on God. There's no mention here in verse 20. I made a mistake, no. Call me not Naomi, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. How quick we are to say, oh, poor me. It's all the Lord's fault. It's his doing. Look what he has done to me. She lost her sense of judgment. In verse 21, I went out full. The Lord has brought me home again empty. Why then call me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me? The Almighty hath afflicted me. No mention at all of our turning our back on God. And you know, men and women, the Lord never turns his back on anybody until they turn their back on him. There's no pleasure in backsliding. In Psalm 51, David is seen there as a man who lost much. Yet the Lord is merciful, long-suffering. The Lord brought Naomi back, the backslider. He dealt with Naomi. Why did she use the word home there in verse 21? It's because that's where she belonged. She never belonged in Moab. And child of God, today, if you're sitting here in this meeting house before me, dabbling in sin and cold of heart today, let me remind you, you don't belong there. If you're listening in online, dabbling in the things of the world and associating with bad company, you don't belong there. You'll never be happy there. There's no peace there. Naomi lost much. You'll never fit. Never fit. You'll be like a square peg in a round hole. Believer tonight, if you're backslidden and far from God, try all you may to fit in this old world, you'll never fit. You need to repent, turn away from your sin, laying hold upon the wonderful promises of God's word. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. Naomi belonged among the Lord's people, and this is where she would be blessed. This was where her place was. The Lord visited his people there in the house of bread. The Lord's blessing was upon it. It was Naomi's home, and the Lord brought her back to it. We think of Luke 15 and the story of the account of the prodigal. For this my son was dead, and he is alive again. He was lost, and now he is found. of the Lord's painful afflictions were for her profit. This is the ways of the Lord. Trials are sent oftentimes to and measured by God for our good and for His glory. Our sorrows, they're sanctifying. They're working away in us as believers. Perhaps tonight you're feeling the pressure, such as which Elimelech felt. The famine. The pressing decisions perhaps to be made in your life. You're tempted to follow after your own plan rather than that of the Lord's. Has this record of this ruinous decision not issued you tonight with a stark warning? Is it not true to say that our troubles, oh, they follow us? This family exchanged a famine for 3 funerals. Perhaps tonight you've never been saved. If you're listening in to me on this, your television screen or iPad, whatever it is, tell me, is it not time that you were? Those of you who are in this building tonight, you don't have a credible profession of faith, never been saved. Is it not time to seek the Lord? The psalmist reminds us of these chilling words, and with this I close. Psalm 139, 7 through 10, whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand hold me. Words of comfort to believer. Words of great concern to that one tonight that is found outside of Christ. I remind you as we conclude our meeting, friend, today you can run from God, but you can't hide. Trust the Lord will take that which is of Himself tonight. If you're challenged even about your soul, you want to be saved tonight, you're not what you ought to be, you want to speak with me, I can't save you. I can't bring you back to Christ, but I can sit down with you and open God's word, point you to the Savior. He alone who does the work in your heart and life. I'm your servant for Christ's sake. I'll be here for all time. Don't rush away. Get my attention. Say to me, sit in the building to others while others leave. But this is a matter of life or death. It's a matter of eternity. Where will you spend eternity? Oh, you once had a great joy in your heart when you came here. That wonderful peace. Even your people look at you tonight and they think you're going on well. But you know you're not where you ought to be. You're far from the house of bread. You're far from Christ. Is it not time you got the matter settled? He will restore unto thee the joy of His so great salvation. If you only but come to Him tonight with a penitent heart and spirit. Father in heaven, we thank Thee and praise Thee for Thy word to our heart this night. Father, we just pray You'll grant us saving grace even in this house, we pray. O Lord, there's so many needs that are pressing upon us even in these days. How the devil would seek to distort our minds and to cause us even to overlook the greatest need of all, the need of our soul salvation. That need of us as Thy children being right with Thee. O Lord, if there be any that's troubled in this house tonight, we pray You'll give no rest or no peace until the Lord has His way in their heart and lives, even this night. Part us now in thy fear and with thy favour. May the blessing of the triune God be our abiding portion, even this evening and the days which lie ahead. For it's in Christ's name we'd ask it. Amen.